You're tuned to 88.5 KCSN and KCSN.org. Coming up, an in-studio visit with composer and pianist Star Parodi. She has a brand new album out called The Heart of Frida, Piano Improvisations. And from that, we'll listen to the title track before we talk with her in studio here on KCSN. Music from Star Parodi's new album, The Heart of Frida. That's the title track. And we have Star Parodi here in the KCSN studios with us. Star, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. We met 9 years ago and promoted your Commonplaces album. It's amazing how it's almost like to the day when we get to meet again.
I know. When you told me that, it made my whole life flash before my eyes.
Yeah, it's amazing. So your new album, The Heart of Frida, was inspired by by Frida Kahlo. What led you to base your new album on Frida Kahlo? Could you talk a little bit about that?
Let me, well, she is such a huge inspiration to me, and I first became aware of her. I mean, I've always known of her, but I first became aware of her while writing for an orchestra for the Laguna Pageant of the Masters, which is a really amazing show that happens every summer in Laguna Beach. And they have they recreate great works of art, and then they have an orchestra play along with it. And so the first year I did it, which was 9 years ago, my assignment was to write for Frida Kahlo. And the theme that year was the muse. And so it was really all about different paintings who had a muse, of a woman who was the muse. She, in this case, was the muse of Diego Rivera, her husband, who was a famous painter by the time that they got married. She was really young when she married him at 22. And so I just became really enthralled with her story because, unlike the other muses that ended up in insane asylums, you know, and doing the work for the artist but really not getting the credit, or maybe they were in love with the artist but never got to, you know, have that really be realized, Frida really broke through. She was a muse, but she was also, her own art stood so elegantly and eloquently, and it, she just really had an amazing thing to say to the world with her art, and it inspired me because of how she lived her life and overcame so many obstacles too, health obstacles and life obstacles.
Yeah, I was going to say, in reading a little bit about Frida Kahlo, it's clear that she had so many things to overcome, that her struggle helped be something that you were drawn to?
I mean, I'm always inspired by people who overcome just incredible odds. And the fact that she, you know, had polio when she was 6 and then this terrible accident when she was 18 and then still had this really vibrant, amazing life and created all this art and really inspired people through her. And the other thing I love about her was that kind of in our society and culture, we always put ourselves forth to be more beautiful and more, you know, better than we are. And I feel like she actually painted herself to be less beautiful than she was, you know, maybe how she was feeling on the inside, but she certainly didn't idealize herself in any way. And so I feel like her true beauty came through with that attitude.
Now, when, in your press material, I'm going to paraphrase here, you talk about how the pieces on this album, The Heart of Frida, essentially all started as improvisations, and you had kind of one rule, which was you weren't really going to restrict yourself, you were going to stay in the moment. Is that how your compositions come about most of the time? Do you start to improvise and something comes of that improvisation?
Yes, that's how it happens for me. I feel like I just... it's a process kind of clearing my mind and then just letting music come in. And I feel like I hear melodies in my head, and sometimes harmonies and chord progressions and everything will just come just as a block almost. And then I just have to kind of scramble to play it and get it down.
Now, let me ask you something. In terms of the recording process, do you... as you're improvising, you try to just record yourself innocuously somehow so that the muse doesn't leave you, because it is improvised. So what if you come across something amazing and you can't do it again, if you will?
That happens.
Okay.
That totally happens. And it's like, oh no, I'll never be able to do that again. The recording process is basically, for me, you know, I work with my partner in life and my husband, Jeff Fair, who's just been amazing. I trust him so much that I can really let myself make mistakes or play something goofy or play something that I think might be stupid. And sometimes those are the things that really come, you know, become the beautiful things. And we just basically, when I'm ready to record, I usually have some sort of a theme that I've been, you know, kind of had in my head. And then we just let the I guess it's not tape anymore, but let the hard drive roll.
Right.
And I play, you know, a few takes, three or four or five, and as long as I want. Sometimes it's 10 minutes, sometimes it's 20 minutes, and then we see what we have. So that's kind of how they all come about.
Excellent. Well, you came up with some really beautiful compositions on this album. Again, it's called The Heart of Frida. It's music from Star Parodi. Why don't we listen to another one? This one's called Overture of Color here on 88.5 KCSN. On 88.5 KCSN and KCSN.org, that's music from Star Parodi's new album, The Heart of Frida, a piece called Overture of Color, and Star Parodi is in studio with us here on KCSN. Another beautiful piece.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about the other thing that you do, which is that with your husband, Jeff, you guys have composed a lot of music for movie trailers, film scores, TV scores, as you mentioned, the music to accompany Pageant of the Masters. How's the process different from a composition standpoint on those projects versus, let's say, something like The Heart of Frida?
Oh, well, you know, I think it comes from the same place, which is an emotional place and wanting to connect. The process is different because in doing music to picture, there's usually a committee of people involved. And sometimes there's a singular vision, and sometimes there's a lot of different ideas about what the music should be. And sometimes the music is used to fix a scene, you know, that somebody wishes might be better. And so it's always, you know, my goal and Jeff's and my goal to make the music really connect with the picture and to be transparent where it needs to be, and to be, you know, emotional, but not in any way saccharine or anything like that. So that's kind of our goal, and also to drive the action. We've done a lot of action movie trailers, which have just been so much fun, and had, you know, wonderful opportunities to work with orchestras and just great musicians here in LA. But the process is different in that the piano records are me completely letting my mind just open up. They're almost like a prayer. In fact, that's where I do pray, you know, or meditate and you know, wish and hope and everything, you know, is really at the piano. I just kind of close my eyes and I start to play. And there is no committee. It's just me. And I just need to make sure that I feel good about it. And so that's why, you know, sometimes the process for me on the piano, I'll play a few takes and then I just will say, well, you know what, that I'm not even going to do this song, or I'm going to come back in a week or whenever it feels right and do it again. And just hope, you know, hoping that there's some spark of magic that comes through. And that's what I'm always looking for in the piano.
And in terms of the experience, I remember talking with you about this. I was listening back to the interview we did 9 years ago, and I remember you said that one of the things you liked about doing the film stuff was that you did get to work with orchestras, but that there was also, because big budgets were involved, it was kind of fun to take chances, even though you said that the risks obviously were like millions of dollars are on the line.
Oh, gosh.
So they, you know, so does that pressure make you thrive? Is it stressful? Do you like it? Whereas obviously with your own music, maybe it's not quite the same.
Well, the pressure is a different kind of pressure for sure. I think, you know, in the sense of maybe movie trailers or any kind of television show, there is so much money involved in producing it. And there's so many careers at stake, too, with all the actors. And so there is, a great deal of pressure to have everything work. But I really like that in a kind of a sick way, you know, because I feel like maybe I put that on myself anyway, and so when somebody else is doing it, I guess I can't differentiate too much from it. With the piano and with the solo piano recordings that I do, I feel like that is expressing my heart and really my life's work. And so in that way, there is a deeper sense from, you know, in my heart that I want it to be right. And my goal is to bring light to the world, to have people connect and to make people feel like they've been touched and to feel good. So that, you know, is my kind of, barometer. And so if I feel something, it's usually a feeling I feel in my stomach, and I say, okay, well, I feel like, okay, I've done the best I can do because my stomach is tingling, you know.
Right, right. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, let's listen to some more music and tell me a little bit about this, because we're going to listen to what amounts to a cover improvisation. It's called Nights in White Satin, the Moody Blues song. But in listening to this, for me personally, it's beautiful. But like I was saying to you before we got on this mic to talk, that you could have not called this Nights in White Satin and no one would have known.
Well,
or called it something else. And you did such a beautiful job of being inspired by something, but to me, it's a totally original composition.
That's
what it sounds like.
Thank you so much. I've always loved that song, and there's something about Frida Kahlo and the moodiness of her art, and the kind of darkness and the colors are the kind of colors I see when I listen to this song. And I must admit, I hadn't listened to this song for a really long time, but I always loved the theme of it. And so I just found myself one day, you know, when I was working on this record, just coming up with playing around with different chord progressions under it. And I always thought it would be something that would be super cool to layer different filtered pianos. So initially the piano part was played and improvised. And then once I had that and I made, you know, really good sense to play it in time as opposed to really playing it rubato and taking my time with it. I wanted to make sure that I played it in strict enough time so that I could put some layers on top of it that would feel like they grooved rather than just, you know, being all over the place. So so this has layers and layers of filtered piano on it that I've played in, and then, you know, Jeff, who is just like the filter guru, amazing, you know, he's amazing at so many things, but sounds is really one of his huge strengths. And he, you know, would come up with these amazing sounds that I love that it's all made with the piano and that it's nothing is sequenced, nothing was cut up and, you know, time corrected or anything. But that's super fun to play, too.
Well, here it is. We're going to listen to it. It's Star Parodi's music from The Heart of Frida. This is called Nights in White Satin on KCSN. on 88.5 KCSN and kcsn.org. Music from Star Parodi from her album The Heart of Frida, Piano Improvisations. That one is Knights in White Satin, in case you did not recognize it. It is such a beautiful piece, Star. It's so cool. And so credit where credit is due, that's the inspiration, but it's its own piece, I think.
Thank you.
And Star is obviously in studio with us, which is why I'm able to talk with her. Let's talk a little bit just briefly about your instrument. You play a Steinway B from 1928. Can you tell me a little bit about this particular instrument? And it has sort of a rich history in terms of where it came from.
You know, when I first heard, I remember when I was looking for pianos, and it was before I was actually a Steinway artist, so I didn't have as many choices as I might have now. But this piano just spoke to me, and the fact that it was on the MGM soundstage in the 20s, late 20s and 30s, and it still has the tag, a little silver tag that says MGM on the leg of it, and it supposedly is the piano that the Wizard of Oz was recorded on.
Wow.
And it's kind of cool because I remember when I first got it, I sometimes sit at the piano and just thinking about what to play and just sitting there, and I sometimes run my hands under the piano, and there were all these little bumps, and I thought, what are these bumps? But I, for some stupid reason, didn't get under the piano to look. But a few years later, I'm thinking, I'm going to look under the piano, see what those bumps are. And it turned out it's gum.
Right.
And so, like, all the studio players, whoever might have been recording at that time at MGM, just took the gum out of their mouth and stuck it under the piano, So when I had the piano, I've had a lot of work done on it. It's just such a beautiful instrument, and it has beautiful sustain, long singing tones. But when I was having it restrung and having a few little things done to it, I said, don't touch the gum. I want to keep it.
I love how you your angle on it was that you like the mystery of wondering who might have chewed that gum. Even though, for most of us, that might gross us out.
Right.
It's interesting that you actually thought even further about that and thought, I want that mystery. I want to have that, inspiration, dream, whatever.
I know. It could be Gershwin's gum. Who knows whose gum
exactly.
It could be. It's
yeah.
So cool. It grosses my daughter's friends out, but it doesn't gross her out. It doesn't gross me out. So.
Yeah. Well, that's I guess, the most important thing. If it doesn't gross you out, then that's the most important thing. You talked briefly about doing, compositions where you have an orchestra play, where you get to conduct. Can you talk a little bit about wearing that hat, being the conductor, and how it contrasts, or does it just go hand in hand with being a composer and a pianist? And does it help that you're playing an instrument that basically covers the orchestra in terms of from the lowest bass to the highest pitch sound?
That's so intuitive that you say that, because the piano is often, considered to be the orchestra, and you really can, as you're playing it, hear all the different parts in your head of, all the different orchestral instruments and their ranges and where they fit in and what you're playing. As a conductor, I would love to conduct more. I feel like the musicians that I have conducted for have just been so supportive and so there. I feel like I'm a composer who conducts, and it is a thrill to conduct your own work and hear it really come to life. And it's a very immediate thing to be able to change something on the stand as well that you hear that you want to be different. So it's just a really wonderful experience.
That's really cool. Now, before we wrap up, I want to mention that you have a show coming up. We want to talk about the show. It's at the Moss Theater in Santa Monica at the New Roads School campus. The show takes place October 1st at 8 p.m., and you're going to play music from both the current album, The Heart of Frida, and your previous album, Common Places. Talk a little bit about, there's a couple of special guests on this particular occasion, right?
Right. Well, I'm so excited about this concert. First of all, it's going to be kind of a celebration and release of The Heart of Frida. And so I'm going to be able to celebrate with all my friends and people who love piano music, which I'm really excited about. This concert is being made possible by just a wonderful grant by the Hardly Strictly Classical series, which puts on several concerts a year at the Moss Theater, and they have just been, the Mandel Collection has just been so supportive of me and my music and wanted me to do something that was just pure art and pure artistic vision. And so with that impetus to do something like that, I called a couple of friends of mine who I have met and, you know, have been acquainted with, who were in Cirque du Soleil, the Steben twins, and they are going to join me. They are amazing aerialists, emotional. They're identical twins, and they are so connected. And when they heard this music and what I was doing and the Frida Kahlo connection, they really wanted to be a part of it. So we're going to do some really special, we're going to do three songs together, and they've choreographed some trapeze and some swings, very, very special pieces of art of, you know, I consider it aerial art that they're doing, that we're going to do together. And then I have a wonderful, wonderful singer, vocalist, recording artist, Lewis Price, who has been my dear friend almost my whole life. And he was the former lead singer of The Temptations. There is just, he's one of my favorite vocalists of my whole life, you know. And so I'm just so honored and happy that he's going to join me, and we're going to do a song together as well. And then the rest is going to be solo piano with multimedia behind, with some beautiful images. And hopefully my daughter, Isolde Fair, will be playing violin with me too. So
that sounds wonderful. And again, this is on October 1st at 8 p.m. at the Moss Theater in Santa Monica. For more information, you can go to Star Parodi's website, which is parodifair.com. It's P-A-R-O-D-I-F-A-I-R. .com, again, parodifair.com. The brand new album is called The Heart of Frida, music from Star Parodi, piano improvisations. So we're going to wrap up and listen to Hardly Touching, and I want to just say thank you very much for being with us here on KCSN. It's been a pleasure to have you back.
Oh, it's so great to be here. Thank you so very much for having me.
Absolutely. So let's continue with more music from Star Parodi here on 88.5 FM.